34. 20 minutes, alarm. 20 minutes, alarm. 20 minutes, alarm. 20 minutes, alarm. That was how Hennessy had been living at the beginning of all this, and that's how she had been living since she left the house with the young dreamers. She set the timer on her dreamt phone, and 20 minutes later, when it went off, she set it again. She had to wake up enough between each alarm to make sure she didn't fall back into a deep sleep. It could not be an 8-hour sleep interrupted dozens of times. It had to be dozens of sleeps for 8 hours. But that's not survivable, Carmen Farouk Lane said. Or fair. Farouk Lane was a very put-together sort of young woman. So put together it was difficult to discern her true age. When she said it, it seemed obvious, like it made sense, like the situation had been stripped of emotion, taken down to the studs, and revealed as unsound. Of course it was not survivable. Of course it was not fair. They shouldn't have made so light of the lace, Liliana said in her sweet old lady voice. It was never going to be as easy as simply asking it to go away. Liliana the visionary was a very put-together sort of old woman. So put-together, it was difficult to discern her true age, too. When she said it, it also seemed obvious, although Hennessy found the statement more difficult to accept. Ronan and Bride had tried so hard to get Hennessy to just shunt the lace out of her dreams, and they'd told her so many times she was simply clinging to it. Whatever else the lace was, it was also her fault, and they'd seen it, so surely they knew. But that wasn't what Farouk Lane and Liliana seemed to believe. The three women were on the second floor of a convoluted historical tea house in a small room filled with overstuffed chairs, beanbags, end tables, and travel books. Clinking music played overhead. They had it to themselves. It was very intimate and safe feeling, which was the opposite of everything Hennessy had been doing for the past few weeks, past few years. Farouk Lane had driven them there as Liliana, in the passenger seat, used Farouk Lane's phone to search for an appropriate place to talk. It was a very different experience from Hennessy's previous travel. When looking for good places to crash and discuss plans, Bride and Ronan would not have filtered their searches for warm ambiance and free parking. It was clear from watching Farouk Lane and Liliana that they had traveled together a lot, and that they were both comfort-loving creatures. It was also clear they had crushes on each other. "This is all very life-affirming," Hennessy told them from her place in a beanbag. "Enriching and all that, but what of it? So it's not fair, and it's not easy. It's still there. There's still this thing hanging over me every time I dream. And if Ronan and Bride have their way, I won't be able to stop it." Liliana murmured something into Farouk Lane's ear, which made Farouk Lane's beautiful face go consternated. They both looked at Hennessy. "So I understand completely if you decide to kill me," Hennessy said, talking fast. "I've been thinking about it a lot. On previous episodes, it would have been a very selfish decision on account of my ladies and how they relied on me for their existence. But on this current run, everyone else dead, mostly, fate of the world in hands. Well," she spread her hands, or at least the best she could, considering she had a hot chocolate in one of them, "it's the selfless thing to do, really." "We have a different idea," Farouk Lane said. Hennessy narrowed her eyes. "Do you mean you both had this idea, or she has an idea and whispered it to you just now?" Liliana smiled sweetly. "I told you she was clever." Farouk Lane's businesslike expression didn't change. "Can you dream something to suppress the ley line?" Hennessy had one dream. The lace. Always the lace. She was a bar with a single beer on tap. She was about to tell them this, but in the past, Jordan had always told Hennessy, "You're not allowed to shoot down any more of my ideas until you've had one of your own." So she didn't shoot it down. She sank down into the beanbag and stared at them instead. "I don't believe killing yourself is the answer," Farouk Lane said. "You have value too."
"Ma'am, we've just met," Hennessy said.
Liliana broke in. "Do you know what it means to be a visionary, Hennessy? I don't always look like this. Sometimes I'm a girl. Sometimes I'm a woman. Sometimes I am this, what you see now. Every time I change between these ages, I have a vision of the future and all the sound that has happened or will happen in the intervening years comes out of me. It destroys everyone close enough to hear it. Over the years, I have met and will meet people who urge me to turn this vision inward. If I do that, I will no longer shift between ages, and I will no longer be a danger to those around me. But eventually, that method will kill me instead."
"I take it, since we're talking to the old version of you, you picked door number one," Hennessy said. "Keep exploding."
"Most visionaries die very young," Liliana said. "Too young to change the world. I'm still here not because I think my life is valuable, although I do think that, but because staying alive means I have more visions, and the more visions I have, the more I can save the world from itself. You have value too, Hennessy. Value that comes from staying alive."
"And if you turn off the ley line," Farouk Lane said, "no more Zeds, dreamers, have to die. You're all only as dangerous then as you would be as normal people. You can only hurt or help as many people as anyone else." She corrected herself, but Hennessy preferred the first term she'd used, Zed.
"That's right. Zero. Nothing. Loser."
"You don't have to feel this fear and pain all the time. You're allowed to stop it," Farouk Lane said.
"I know you have no love for yourself,"
Liliana broke in again, and her voice was so gentle that Hennessy felt absurdly close to tears again. They burned. She hated them. She wanted it to stop. How badly she wanted it to stop.
"So you might not make this decision for yourself, because you don't think you deserve it. You can make it for others. It would be noble to stop it."
Stopping the ley line meant stopping Jordan in her tracks. Farouk Lane seemed to guess what she was thinking. "If the end of the world comes, your dreams will die with the rest of us. This way they'll fall asleep. That doesn't have to be forever. Death is forever."
"I wish you were dead," she told Jordan. "Why do you always do this?" Jordan asked.
Hennessy almost wished that Farouk Lane and Liliana had told her they were going to have to kill her after all.
It wasn't exactly that she wanted to die. She just didn't want to live with herself.
"You're forgetting one thing," she said. "I only ever dream of the lace. All day, every day, it's the lace superstore. I can't dream something to shut down the ley line. I only ever dream of the lace."
The music plinked overhead. The beanbag hugged Hennessy. She drank some of her hot chocolate. The reviews Liliana had read on the way over were right. It really was good hot chocolate. It would be a good last meal.
Liliana looked at Farouk Lane, her expression sympathetic and soft.
Farouk Lane looked at Hennessy, her expression sympathetic and hard. Then she reached behind her to lay From Chaos in its scabbard in front of Hennessy and her beanbag.
"Then explain this," she said.